And, you know, the beauty of who we are is not because of who we are, but because our great good God formed us. And if we, and it's really a psalm of worship of the Lord, that he has worked himself to create us. And then it reminds me also of Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works that he has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then also an interesting passage in Philippians that says, work out your salvation. Yeah. Well, that verse can be misunderstood, but all of these verses tell us it is God working in us. He forms us physically. He forms us spiritually. Mm. And he is the one working. We are to work out what he is working. Mm-hmm. And so it's God at work. It's praise to him. We are who we are because God created us to be who he wants us to be and to live for him.
Yeah.
With a purpose for our lives.
Boy, is that message needed today, you know, because I know with all the things that we all are aware of, whether it's Afghanistan or the border or COVID and all that, that we as Christians, I think we fall, and I'll claim, here I am, I'm the guilty one, but we tend to pray in what we've only seen him do in our lives in the past. Mm-hmm. And I think what Mark's message this morning was, you know, I kind of underlined, I thought it was so cool. He said, this passage, meaning the passage that he had read just a little bit earlier in Isaiah, he said that God is not bound to do things the way he did before, because when we get locked in on a solution, we miss out on what God is trying to do today. And I'm guilty of that, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Because God has worked in my life, you know, and what he took me through in high school and in college, and when Jeannie and I lost a child. Wow. You know, it came back from that. You think that those kind of things are just going to be, he only has this one pattern that he follows, and that is not the case.
Yeah, we kind of get this attitude, I got this, God.
I know what you're going to do.
And, you know, I think the greatest thing throughout Scripture is that God wants us in his presence. Mm. That's why he died for us, so that we can be in his presence, if you read the very end of the Scripture. And now he wants us in his presence. Mm-hmm. He wants us walking in a real, alive dependence, complete dependence on him. That strength is to be dependent, which goes against what we would think. And I think what happens sometimes is that God's done something and we forget that we still have to keep that lifeline open, listening. God, what is your plan for this? Mm-hmm. And so I've done that so many times where I think, oh, God, I know what you're going to do. You've done it before. And so there's something really interesting in Scripture, because the Lord always does, if you read through the Old Testament, he always does point back to what he did in Exodus. Mm-hmm. He says, remember, but it's not remember how I did. He says, remember who you were. Mm-hmm. You were a weak people. Mm-hmm. You had no hope. You were slaves. And I am your Lord. And because I love you, I set you free to bring you into my presence.
Yeah, the whole goal was to get to closer to him.
Yes. And so they want things done a certain way. And I loved how Mark had that comparison. Mm. You know, before they were slaves, they had no resources. But now in Babylon, they're given resources. You know, they used Moses, but here they used a pagan king. Mm. God used it. So he compares the two ways that God works that are very different. But it's still God loving his people.
Bad example, you know, the Old Testament, God often used non-believing pagans to kill each other, which benefited the Hebrew people.
Yes,
you know, I mean, it's true, right?
Yes.
And I hate to use this analogy because it's probably not a good one, but what did I hear on the news this last week? That there's so many of these inter-tribe hatred in Afghanistan that they may actually wind up killing off some of the more bad guys. That we don't. I mean, that is like such a thin, slim of a silver hair going through that whole example over there. But there's a lot of truth about that. And when God's in control, we cannot tie him down to what he did 50 years ago or 90 years ago or you know, centuries ago in that light. I just thought it was interesting.
And you know, something else about that too is what in Isaiah, what he's saying is, I'm going to do a new thing.
Yeah.
And that's pointing to Christ.
Yeah.
And they're wanting to relate to God in the old way. And he's also wanting to open it to the Gentiles. And
That's right.
Don't have that mindset. And he's saying, I'm trying to do a new thing here.
And that would have been the farthest thing from their mind.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
So he's wanting to do a new thing. He's saying, listen to me. Stay close to me because I'm going to do a work.
And that's verse 19. I mean, behold, you know, I tell you how old I am. There was an old... old Christian rap group. What were they called? three guys. They were awesome. You know, we were the volunteers that took all the youth to all the concerts, so we saw them all. They were the big one of the big ones. I can't remember what the name of. There were three guys, a black guy and two white guys, and we saw them. I don't know, three or four times. You know, they came through Kansas City. They were awesome. But they had an album out, a new album, a new CD that said God's doing a new thing. You know, and they actually based it on this verse, and it was quite insightful. To see it, what if you read the words of that song, because they saw it before a lot of older Christians saw it, that God does do a new thing, you know, and I just think it's awesome that was in a stupid song. I like the in verse 18 from the translation, you know, that Mark read, forget the former things, do not, and I love this, do not dwell on the past. I've gone into homes of guys that I've known through the years, you know, folk families, and they might have been greatly awarded in sports or in the military, and you'll see a whole wall dedicated to that, or sometimes a whole room. And I've got to be honest with you, and it has nothing to do, it's just me and who I never put that up. I never had some of those things put up on the wall. Jeannie wanted to put a few things up, and I didn't want Colby and Katie growing up with this dad living from the past. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I saw it because I saw a lot of guys, I had a very interesting conversation. There was a good friend of mine I played football with in Nebraska that I transferred and went to Baylor. Didn't see each other for several years. He and his wife moved, and their family moved to Kansas City when we were living there. And he was from Utah. And I actually led him to Christ. He came up in a Mormon family, and I led him to Christ. He got kicked out of his family because of that. We got married, and they moved to Kansas City. And he called me up. He was so excited. They had three or four little kids. And he said, man, we want to see you. I said, well, come on over. So they came over, and we had, you know, grilled hamburgers and stuff like that. And something wasn't right. It just wasn't quite right. And the next day, his wife called me. And she said, can I talk with you? In fact, I don't want Jeannie. I don't know Jeannie. Tell her please come. I need to talk to you. And so Jeannie went with me, and we met his wife, and said that he had not ever grown up, that he was still living in the past. And he thought everybody should be taking care of him. And she says, you know, we have three physical kids, but I feel like I have a fourth kid because I'm picking up after my husband all the time. Well, they got divorced about a year later. And it was really sad to see that he had just not left that stupid past, you know, of who he thought he was. And I, you know, as a bad example as that is, I think as Christians, we sometimes get guilty of maybe we had a great childhood, or maybe we had this dramatic coming to Christ, you know, in our life, and then we just don't get past that. And I think Mark's message was apropos, hey, wait a minute, do not dwell on the past, which is what he's telling the Hebrew
and
people.
And sometimes it's realizing that that's not the whole picture.
Yeah.
It becomes who we are. Even in hard times, I'm reminded of this, that sometimes when things are really hard, we want to give up because we think this is the whole story. And often when I think of that for myself or when I'm praying for others, I think, Lord, help them endure and trust you so that on the other side they have a testimony of how good God is and how God did the impossible. And so one gal that I just love, this new singer called Nightbird that was on America's Got Talent, and she's got like a 2% chance to live. But she has such a spirit of, she loves Jesus. And
she's singing?
She sang. She couldn't compete all the way through because she's so sick, but she writes and she sings. And she has this saying, don't you want to see what might happen if you don't give up? What God might do. And sometimes it is just realizing God is at work. There's more to it than I can see in my eye right now. And God is at work. And there's two examples of that. One, I'll go to the scripture first where he mentions Jeremiah. I think that's a fascinating story because we all have that verse somewhere that says, you know the plans I have for you to prosper. It's this verse of blessing.
Yeah.
When you really read the story, what's happened is because the people have sinned, they've gone into exile. And there's false prophets, false people in the church, if we can say it in a modern way, that are saying, God's going to make you feel better. He's going to take you home in 2 years. But God's not saying that. And the real prophet is saying, actually, you're going to have to stay in exile because God already told you that's what's going to happen. And
mm-hmm.
God's not changing his mind.
Mm.
And so, but in the midst of God's punishment on them, he gives them this blessing of you're supposed to bless those around you, bless your city, live
now,
right.
This is at the beginning of the 70 years, right? Yeah, yeah.
Make my presence known here. Do good to the places around you and live righteously right where I placed you. I'm not moving you out of this circumstance. And so for us, you know, when the circumstances are bad, sometimes the Lord's not saying, I'm going to fix the circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you grace
mm-hmm.
in it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even, and you're talking about looking back at the perspective, there's even something even greater. And I heard this when Malcolm preached a sermon one time. One of the priests in exile is an ancestor of Jesus, the Messiah. So while they're in this situation that's terrible, they have been taken as slaves from everything they've ever known. They don't know that they'll ever go back in this horrible circumstance. There is the seed of the Messiah that will save the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
And so God is at work even when we can't see in those circumstances. And that's called having faith to trust. It's so hard.
But you know, I love that example because when the Babylonians took them out, they had to change. They weren't doing it in Jerusalem.
Right. That's good, Brad.
Yeah. So the point is that sometimes God has to take us out of a complete scenario that may look horrible to us, but it may be exactly what needs to happen. We don't have the wisdom and the foresight to see that. That's where trust and faith come in, right?
Exactly. Took everything that they were comfortable with away from. That's really good.
Yeah. And so, well, I got that from Malcolm, too.
You know, so
I want to ask you a question, because I had trouble with this, and so I said, Karen will know.
Oh, yeah, right.
Mark makes a statement in his sermon I thought was outstanding. He says, and it's not a big thing. He said, it's our faith that is at stake. Faith is released by trusting in what God is doing right now in our life.
Mm.
All right, I know I'm catching you off guard.
Okay.
How does that work? I'm not so sure I always know that.
Okay, read it again.
Okay. Yeah.
I've already got a thought on that. But
yeah. Faith, I love this. Faith is released by trusting in what God is doing today, in other words, in our lives.
And not holding on. And okay, I'm going to step back and answer that. He said, don't hold on to past hurt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And don't hold on to past good things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he's calling
appreciate them.
Appreciate them.
But don't hold on to them.
And I think God's calling all of us to examine our hearts.
Yeah.
And we all need to do that.
Yeah.
But the other thing about faith I think is really interesting, that's a new thing for me to, as I think of faith, is, you know, Jesus said if you had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed. And I always thought it meant because it's so tiny. Which is true.
It is.
If you have the time. But you know what? What is a mustard seed? You have to plant it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to water it. And the sun has to shine on it. And you have to wait, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wait for that seed to grow into a tree. And so it's not just that if I have the smallest amount of faith, God's going to act now.
That's right.
It's that if I have the smallest amount of faith, I can wait on God to
mm-hmm.
work as he's planned.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie O. Perry says we have idolatry when we trust in something else instead of waiting
mm-hmm.
on the Lord to work.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever we trust in becomes our idol instead of waiting on God.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really transformed the way I think of faith. You know, sometimes God does act immediately,
mm-hmm.
and he acts miraculously. And sometimes he does things that we won't know till we get to heaven that we've trusted him to do. And so
that's a good response. I love that because to me that's a release that stay the course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stay the course, spend time in the Word, And that's the mundane things we think sometimes. It's not the events. It's not the big thing.
Yes.
But it's that daily. And it is interesting, Karen. I know you can relate to this. If we will do that, then that is preparation for God. You know, I argue with guys that do leadership development and training, and they always talk about, you know, well, it's a crisis, you know, when you develop character. No, the character is developed before
then.
That's
right.
Those crises reflects that level.
That's right.
And that's what's disappointed so many of us about some of the things that went on in Afghanistan the last couple of weeks, because it's like there's been a folding. The spine has just gone soft on people who should have been in that development. We have ex-Navy SEAL working in our business, in our company. He's out in Phoenix. And T.O. happens to know a guy that was my son's best friend. And he's a SEAL. And these guys, these military guys, are just coming unglued. They're just coming unglued right now. And they can't hardly stand it. And I can see why military coups are possible now. I mean, I can sort of see that. I don't think that's... I pray that doesn't happen here, because we are a democratic society. But I tell you, they see it. And as Christians, though, but here's what I've heard from these guys. Character wasn't in place. Wrong people leading. They do not have the character to be leaders. That's a pretty powerful statement from people who've been under fire. You know, that kind of stuff. I just thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. That daily commitment. You know, it's not glamorous. It doesn't get you a lot of, reputation and being the cool person. But daily walking with Jesus.
Yeah.
In the simplest of things.
I know you know this, too. This is, I don't know, this passage is so cool, but... It is part of that looking at yourself. But as for you, continuing what you have learned and have firmly believed. This is 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. I love this. Knowing from whom you learned it. Oh, baby. And how from childhood. And he's not just talking about physical childhood. Timothy's a young guy. But I think the word to me is, when you became a believer, you started your childhood, right? And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. In the famous verse, right? All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God or woman may be complete, equipped for every good work. And that's in the Old Testament. All he told them was, obey.
Yeah.
I want to love you. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, and Isaiah it says... the grass withers and fades, but the flowers fade, but the word of God endures forever, will accomplish its work.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, thinking of Afghanistan, I just wanted to mention something. I don't know how much more time we have, but of course, my heart's been broken for Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, so many people, and we've been praying and praying and praying, and you see that there's just such an evil there. It's great. It's, you know, the Bible says our war is not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And those that are doing such evil are being led by Satan. And to bring death to God's creation, to God's to people that God created to life. They want Satan wants death, God brings life. And I have thought about Old Testament. I'm like, Lord, you beat the Philistines.
I know.
You know, you could bring COVID to the, you know, God, please, God, do your work.
You can beat guys riding in pickups around the country, right?
And it's not going to be glory to a nation. We want it, because no nation's going to bring righteousness. Only God, that God would work. But I was talking with my friends who had lived in Syria. They're from Syria in Damascus during the war, and they had seen all of it. They had been, you know, readying their children if ISIS should come to their house and kill them for being Christians. And I was talking with her this week. She lives in Fort Worth. And I said, you know, I know that God's working in Afghanistan. She said, oh, yeah. She said, but I said it almost with a question. I want to believe, but why isn't he taking care of it on my timetable? As Mark said, it's not our timetable. And she said, oh, Karen, God's working. God is working in Afghanistan. God is doing miracles in Afghanistan. God is loving his people in Afghanistan. We don't understand.
No.
We don't understand what he's doing. But God is going to do a work for his glory. And God is going to bring salvation to people.
You know, it's funny, not funny in a comical sense, but it is ironic that, and Jim, I think you probably may have even known some of these guys, some of you in the military, I love reading the stories of some of the POWs from Vietnam. Mm. And it was amazing that the guys who really made it, that were believers, it strengthened their faith. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the worst hell on earth. Mm-hmm. And these guys are strengthened.
Mm-hmm. God gives grace.
Yeah. And they were the ones ministering to the others. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and then ministering to North Vietnamese guards. Mm-hmm. You know, and you think, you know, I keep, you're talking about looking in the mirror. Could I do that? I mean, I don't know. But I'm not so sure any of those guys knew.
Right.
Until it happened, you know. Right. And that's, I think that's what our focus is. And I love that. I just love that Mark said, you know, just get released from that. You know, let the past go. Now, some of us may have a great past we may be proud of. And in our age group in this class, just about everybody is retired. And so the point is they have, in some, if they let their only fact for living is their past, don't do it anymore. You know, get involved with ministry. Pray, study right. The Bible. Go on mission trips if you can.
Yeah, and Paul is starting that. Paul Rummage is starting that to encourage all of us to be a part of mission. Yeah, I forget what it's called.
Well, he's got so many good things. I called him 2 weeks ago. Malcolm sent out a quiet time thing. And it just drove me nuts, and it bothered me. And then the Afghan thing became even more. And I called Paul, and I said, man, is there any way, any contact with any organization that we could help be a part of a team that's, well, not physically, because none of us could go, but to sneak a pastor and his family out and bring him to Granbury. Let us host him.
Yeah.
And he said, man, he started to put the feelers out. I talked to a guy, retired Army guy, Lieutenant Colonel, that is well-connected this last week. And I said, hey, off the topic, you know anybody that's doing any search and missions? I know you can't tell me who and all, but if you got any contacts, let me know. We want to get some people out of there if we can. Mm. And he tells me that there are multiple efforts going on. And let me tell you, we need to be praying
for
secrecy,
yeah,
for wisdom, and for getting. Do you see what's surrounding Afghanistan? It ain't exactly, you know, Oklahoma. Oklahoma, bad enough.
You know? Oh, dear.
But I'm going to give you the last word. I want to share something real quick, and then I want to let Karen have the last word. This has been fun.
It has been fun.
Let's get rid of him. Let's just you and me.
No, absolutely not.
One of the things that Mark, toward the end, and again, I just accented a little bit more. He said that hope is the confidence that God is intimately involved in my, and this is what God is involved with, in my present and in my future, so that no matter what happens, things will be well with me because God does all things well. So you're walking with the cane. That ain't no excuse for you not praying, for you not reading, for you not growing. Amen? Absolutely. My mom could not hardly walk. Y'all knew her, met her. You know, she was the biggest. When mom said she's praying for you, but watch out because something was getting ready to drop. And the point is that God's given you. If that's your ministry, Nick, you live it. But you be dedicated to that. And forget everything you did in the past, as great as you were. Okay? I know you owned half of Texas at one time, right? but the point is that you've got an opportunity from your perspective, with your wisdom, from what God's given you. And that's true for all of us.
That's right.
Close us out, would you?
Okay. Yeah, just I had a prayer mom. I don't know if I've mentioned to y'all. When I was 18, that God gave me a prayer mom.
Oh.
And she had been blind and crippled from birth.
Oh.
She was about this tall. And she prayed for over 200 people specifically every day. And God used her mightily. And so I look at the wisdom and the experience in this room.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to just say to you, to me, to all of us, God is inviting us on mission. He is working and wants us to join Him in mission every single day. And it's an invitation from the Lord. He's saying, I'm doing a mighty work.
And boy, if you didn't think the U.S. was mission country, it is more now than ever. I'll close out with one. I do have one more thing I want to say. I had dinner a couple of days ago in Jackson, Mississippi, with the manager for the office there and his wife. He just remarried and she remarried. And it's a good thing. Her parents are missionaries in Sweden. Her parents are. And it's a long story, but anyway, they're in their early 60s, and they're really cool people, evidently. They told me something I couldn't believe. She said that her parents got COVID last year when they were there. They would not leave their apartment for a year because Sweden is euthanizing senior citizens mm-hmm. who have frailties and illnesses. Did you hear that? And when her dad found out about it, it was in the form of a rumor. He did his research, and in fact, it's exactly what's happening. We have a missionary couple we support. She's beautiful gal. She was originally from Egypt, and she and her parents were Christians. They were pharmacists in Cairo, and they moved to the U.S. to escape persecution there in Egypt. And they live in Houston, but anyway, she was a close friend and roommate of my daughter's at A&M. Mm-hmm. And she was a Christian, but she went into Campus Crusade, and so she did missionary work as a single gal, and then she met this guy, Mike, great guy. And so we love them to death, but they're in Sweden, and they know this couple.
Oh, right.
So I sent him a note, and I said, I just wanted to confirm that I've met Jim and Jenna's daughter. She's married to a guy that I work with, long story short. But I sent him a newsletter from the ministry and all that kind of stuff. He goes, we know them well. He said they're really fine people. And I said, just quickly, is there any truth to the euthanasia of senior citizens who are frail and sickly? And he goes, sadly, it is. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go to Afghanistan, is my message. Mm-hmm. So we really need to pray, don't we? Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's pray and we'll close out. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you so much for Karen and her insights, Father, and her knowledge, and just for sharing that with us this morning. Thank you for your love. Thank you for Mark and for what you are just laying on his heart to share with us. And just gives us a perspective sometimes of Scripture that we might not be able to kind of get on our own. It's so cool to have that insight brought to living color for us. Father, thank you for your love for us. Be with the folks that are here, the folks that aren't. Give them a great week. We thank you for your love. We ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.